Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about bug out bags. Well, with the bug out bags, I mean, there's a couple of different things that come to mind. A lot of people, you know, you say your go bag or this and that. Well, today, there's the 72-hour bag, and we did a great episode, and I think I might throw it up later in the week as a classic episode if it's not still available. But the 72-hour bag is kind of what you keep in your car, or if you're, you know, going somewhere and you just need to, you know, make sure you can get home if you end up stranded somewhere. Mm-hmm. But when I say bug out bag, this is a little more, this is bugging out. That's a little different than a go bag. Right. Bugging out means my house is overrun, or I'm leaving and I'm not coming back, or somebody's coming in looking for me and I'm going to go hike the Appalachian Trail for 10 years. Or, whatever comes up like that, that's what we're talking about. Like it's over where you are and you need to sustain all your needs. Now, hopefully your mind and your skills are going to, you know, give you what you need. But there's obviously a lot of things that can give you a great head start on survival and things that'll make life so much easier. Now, there are a lot of cool videos on YouTube and different survival and bushcraft guys that can teach you basically how to do everything. But I know basically time is money, and a lot of people haven't given, you know, that much time into their survival, or maybe you're just new at it and new at being prepared. Maybe you're not the outdoor camper bushcraft guy that Kevin is. You know, Kevin's the bushcraft master. So, you know, maybe you're not at his level. I he's smiling, so I don't know. I'm a little worried, but anyway, so basically think of a bag, but I also wanted to contain it to where I could fit everything in like one C bag size bag.
Right.
Now, even cooler if you're the guy who can get it down to a nice, you know, backpack bag. I don't really see that as feasible. I mean, the go bag or a bug out bag is more something you're planning. You're driving, you're taking, you're the four wheeler, or if you're hiking, you know, you're going to have to freaking make a go of it, because we're talking about some substantial stuff. Right. If we're talking about limited and you've got to run through the woods and whatever, then maybe the 72-hour bag is all you're going to get. And right, you got to make that work. But this is something a little bit more substantial and something you can take with you as you're heading out. Kevin, I don't know, where do you want to start?
Let's
kind of go through the keys of life, right? Water is number one for survival.
Yeah, let's start with water. Now, where I live,
there's a lot of places where you can access clean water that you can just drink it. Not a smart idea to do, though, especially in a serious situation. You don't want to find yourself, you know, having diarrhea or throwing up, you know, for hours and hours because you did something stupid and you're already in an emergency situation that just got worse. So, you know, there's a lot of great water filtration systems out there that you can, that are lightweight, that you can put in your bag, get ready to go. I like to personally keep a certain amount of water stored in my bug out bag, bottles of water. It's easy to take the bottles out, dump them out, refill them when you're getting ready to go if you have to, but really a sealed bottle of water is going to last for a pretty long time.
Well, and here's the cool thing. A lot of the survival books that I've come across, or actually not even a lot of guys thought about it, but a few guys who actually did some smart planning realized that one of the problems people have is, and this is especially with like your 72-hour bag or people who aren't really planned or prepared, is nobody has a container for right. their water. Mm-hmm. So by throwing six, or it's going to depend on the size of your group, but six small Poland Spring size bottles of water, Aquafina, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Six or so of those bottles, and maybe it's four if you think, oh, well, I'm surrounded by lakes and creeks, then maybe that's right for you, is less, because obviously these things weigh, you know, they weigh a lot and they do affect you. But having like six per person and the appropriate person carrying their own water, and maybe, you know, everybody carries a little extra if you're carrying for a child or something like that. But then in turn, you're going to have these containers that can be refilled.
Right.
And that's going to solve problems for you right out of the gate, because mm-hmm. everybody needs a container. So you may as well have it filled with water. A lot of people have that Camelback bladder system somehow incorporated in their preps. And if you do, you know, that puts you ahead of the game. Yeah, I know my 72-hour bag, right?
Yeah, I have the Camel Pack, and I have to say I love it. I use it every time. I went from 1 liter to 3 liters. I always find that when you're actually outdoors and you're moving, you need a lot more water than you normally consume in a day-to-day situation. So it's something that you know, however much water you think you need more than that. So,
That's definitely because you got to remember you're expending, you know, you're sweating, you're out there working. Usually you're hiking to your location. Once mm-hmm. you find an appropriate location, obviously, I assume you're finding a place that has water, or you're smart enough to know a way to get water if there's not an obvious source mm-hmm. right away, or you're just picking a bad place. Mm-hmm. You know, you're making a mistake if that's right. your destination. But you need to be prepared to survive with water that you find. And I got to say, your little culverts and creeks and stuff like that, unless you have a way to filter it, are not going to be the answer. Now, a creek, if you have water purification, that's good. But if you're taking it out of a culvert and almost true straight groundwater, you're going to need a way to filter it as well as purify it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Do you have more on filtering and purifying?
One, I would say, when you're getting your water purification or your water filtration system, shop around a little bit. I've found some good brands. I've found some shitty brands. I've found some that are heavy that work really well. But you know, you have to kind of balance that. Some of them are, you know, once you get it, you need to use it and make sure that it's something that works. I know a lot of people swear by the Life Straw. Personally, I don't really like it as much.
The Life Straw is very popular, because right. it's simple, it's cheap, and it's small to store.
Right.
So everybody likes it for those three reasons. You know, mm-hmm. simple, awesome, cheap, awesome. But simple is, I guess, a relative term, because like you said, the problem is you got to get the water through the straw. And in order to do it, it takes effort. And you know what? You don't need to be spending extra effort to, you know, when you're in a desperate survival situation where I assume you're covering miles and moving. One of the there's a lot of really cool videos on YouTube on water purification. And like one, like getting water out of rocks and stuff like that. You'll see a lot of that on the bushcraft channels, you know, where, you know, you're kind of catching it out of the earth where it's actually like just kind of weeping out of the ground and kind of tapping into that. Then it's filtered naturally by the ground, which is pretty awesome.
Right.
There's also a lot of videos.
Yeah. Any spring water you come across, you can drink that without filtering it, without doing anything to it. But those springs are not so easy to find unless you are, you know where one is. And you're
unless you know.
Right.
Yeah, because people, when they find them, it's a thing, you know, that's that spring, you know, right. And then all of a sudden it's a popular source, you know. Mm-hmm. I know when I was a kid, we had a cottage up in Canada on a lake, and everybody would drive to a certain cove and go to a set spring that used to be like the spring, you know, right. That for the lake, you know, they used to like sell the water kind of thing. And, you know, it was a thing, you know, you'd go there and it was funny because we actually used to go and we'd dig up bottles because you'd find all the bottles from the 1800s and that kind of thing. Cause that's, you know, when people find a resource like that, they keep going back to it.
Right.
And that's what you gotta, you know, realize they're not as plentiful as you might think. Anyway, a lot of neat videos on making your own spring, which would be, or not spring, sorry, water filtration, mm-hmm. which would be awesome. And rain catchment systems, depending on your climate. But I got to tell you, I know like where I live, you can go a lot of days without rain. So if that's your only plan, it's not a great plan.
Yeah.
Maybe if you live in Seattle or Ireland, that might be different. You know, maybe rain catchment is your thing.
Is it? Yeah.
But
one thing I want to touch on real quick, we're going to hit it again when we get down into the food stuff. Stoves, they're not that difficult. In my 72 hour bag, I have a rocket stove, which just hooks right on top of a little, propane tank. It screws right on and you can set your little pot of water on top of it and boil it. Now, great thing about boiling water is even if you have some bits of shit in the water, it's still gonna kill off any bacteria in there. If you've got cloudy water and you add chlorine or bleach or purification tablets, it'll purify that water, but it's gonna take a lot longer because that bacteria kind of hides in the particles of debris that's in that water. So when you're using purification tablets or whatever you're using, if you don't have a filtration system, you really need to find the clearest water you can get because the cloudier it is, the less effective that disinfectant is going to be, whether it's tablets or bleach droplets or whatever it is that you're using. But now I've got a rocket stove in my 72 hour bag, but my long-term bug out bag, I carry one of those small Coleman stoves with it. That's just for cooking food and everything else, but it also works great for boiling some water.
All right. Now, last thing before we jump too far ahead, water purification tablets. It's about $8 for 100 in those jars.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very small, easy to store. And basically each tablet is going to get you like one water bottle purified.
Right.
So on the go. Now, if you strain that water through a cloth or something beforehand, get out the bigger stuff, it's going to help. Read the label. Each brand is different, but typically you end up needing that water purification tablet in the water in contact for about 30 minutes before it becomes drinkable. So be aware of that and plan ahead. Also, Sawyer makes a great one. They make one that you can hook to your Camelback bladder for about $45, which is awesome. So you can just refill it out of the creek or something. Sawyer also makes ones that'll screw on to the top of a water bottle, which is kind of cool. They have a couple other neat, different little tricks. Sawyer has been a brand that I trusted and, you know, they've actually paid off for me, but, they're just very simple to use and they don't seem to clog up too much and they work, you know, very straightforward. Next thing, if you're grabbing out of a questionable pond or something like that, Don't forget about look up maybe gypsy wells where you dig a hole next to the pond and let the air strain through it. That water is not going to be drinkable right away, but it's going to get out a lot of the toxins. Technically, you know, I've definitely seen people who will drink that water and they say it's enough. I've never seen anybody get sick from it, but you can always do more.
Yeah.
So at that point,
like we were saying, you really don't want to be sick in an emergency situation.
Right. Purification tablets would pay off at that point. Or if once you're at your established location, if you haven't set up a better filter system, the gypsy well, then boil the water and you'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to think about because, you know, especially as things start to decline in society, the cleanliness of water is one of the first things that seems to go.
Mm-hmm.
Back to cooking. Another thing I would think about, you know, a rocket stove is awesome. The store-bought ones, sometimes they're really easy with putting in little sticks and whatever. They don't do a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Is that yours works off like just natural sticks and wood, or is yours like used little fuel tablets?
Yeah, it's
propane.
Propane.
Okay. Yep. Now, so if you do that, just realize at some point that fuel source is going to run out. What I would do is make sure you have some kind of grill top that right. You can either know how to make one because you figured out from bushcraft guys on the internet. I've definitely seen people work out like flat stones and work out like some kind of griddle and even make clay. I've seen videos,
mm-hmm.
Different things like that. But find a way that you're going to have something to cook on and also like a pot. Now, I love, and in my bag, I have the Stanley Cook set.
Mm-hmm.
They have several different versions depending on the money you want to spend. However, they all kind of stack into each other. Like that's one of the neat things about Stanley is they really utilize the space
mm-hmm.
where you can have several different cooking utensils and containers, and they're all loaded into each other. So they don't take up a whole lot of space in your bag. So being able to hang from a tripod or something is awesome. Or on the flip side, you know, Kevin's even seen like cooking sets. I think he's mentioned in the past about tripods that you can kind of buy and like little setups to hang a grate or things like that.
Right. I actually have a tripod that, and it has a grill.
Has a grate.
That hangs from a chain from the tripod that you can raise or lower. And that I bring that.
You said that was pretty cheap, right? You found
that
at like
Walmart
or something?
Yeah, I found that for $12 or something. It's not expensive.
Okay.
And it's,
so if you're not afraid to buy something from China,
mm-hmm.
Kevin can get it for you for $12.
Yeah.
If you're I only buy an American guy, then you can get it for about $60, maybe $100.
Yeah, it's about
and you know, that sounds right. We all make our choices in life. So anyway, some type of grill is going to pay off or cooking source. And like I said, it doesn't mean you can't find a way to do it. You know, I mean, I've definitely watched bushcraft videos where they're making bowls. They're actually making, you know, pottery out of clay and doing it. And they're making a frying pan kind of thing. And so all this stuff is possible. But if you don't know how, don't think, oh, well, I'll make stuff out of clay.
Right. Yeah, and there's a lot of places
if you haven't.
You can end up that it just isn't going to have the natural material there to make make something.
I always carry a pan.
The pot I have my 72 hour bag is really just a really large metal cup, but, in my longer term bug out, bag, I've got, you know, like pots, like a pot and a pan.
Yeah.
You know,
and now,
along with that, they sell a lot of, simple, easy to use, low weight plate sets. Basically, you know, it'll come with a plate, a bowl, spoon, you know, spoon and fork, spork situation. And, you know, you can get it for less than $20 and it's going to not take up very many space. It all comes apart and disassembles. And I have one of those for each person in each bag.
Right. Now, next thing, I was going to say with like the Stanley kits or Kevin just talking about these pots and things like that, the pre-made sets. Now with a cook set, you have a little empty space in the middle. I love to throw some like bouillon cubes in there,
mm-hmm.
Or tea bags or something like that. So at least while you're on the go, before you're growing things or whatever, you can maybe, you know, have a little flavor with your life, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Right.
You know, these things, you can also do those tea bags that have not tea, but instant coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a tea guy and you really prefer coffee, you can throw some instant coffee bags in there. They just make the trip a little more enjoyable. Also, for long term, you know, if you could throw a container of bouillon cubes or something like that in the bag,
mm-hmm.
just in general with extra space, or the instant coffee packets, things like that, not a bad thing. If you like a certain type of seasoning that you're like, hey, you know, I need some Tony Cheshire's, you know, Creole mix or something in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that could change the way food tastes for a while.
Yeah, yeah, and that stuff is something really like that. That seasoning is, I know a lot of people think it's unnecessary, but it weighs nothing. It doesn't weigh. It's not holding you down, and it's going to make your food a million times better.
You know, and even if you only break it out at Christmas or something, all right? You know, whatever.
Now, one of the things that I found been really useful with cooking when you're on the move and you're outdoors is a small, like, cutting board. I have a small one, and I was using it in my long-term survival gear. But I did do a long-term trip, and I broke it. I had a little one, and it just was a piece of crap, and I've been using it forever.
The one you did in order for weight. Now, did you do it like a small plastic sheet?
Yeah, just a small
one. I've also seen those ones that like roll out, which are kind of nice, you know, that.
Well, I was going to say, I just upgraded one. So okay. I got it on Amazon, and it's a cutting board, but it's collapsible, where it's collapsed and it's a cutting board, but then you can you know, pop it up, and it's kind of like a small basin where you can, you know, wash your dishes and such afterwards. Now, a lot of people don't think much about that, but you're really gonna have to clean your utensils and shit. You don't want to be. And maybe you won't get sick. Maybe it's just going to taste like old rotten food and it's going to be gross. You know, you're going to have to bring some sort of equipment to clean your stuff, whether it's a small thing of dish soap. You know, they sell those travel bags. What I did was they sell those little travel bags with the clear containers that you can put, you know, bring your liquids, your shampoos and shit on the airplane. But those are great because you can fill it up with dish soap, and it's not, you know, it's not like a big bottle or anything like that, but it's enough to clean all your stuff for a few weeks.
It would make life a little bit easier. I got to give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. If you're sparing, I mean, you know, I know what we go through at our kitchen sink, and honestly, the bottle seems to last a long time, but I also know I use about 5 times the amount of soap that I actually need.
Right. I pour it all over the sponge, and right. There's soap everywhere. Yeah. Because I'm ridiculous, right. But when you're using it,
maybe it's just the bubble party. You're reminiscent of your youth, you know. You're right. Like, oh, I used to like bubble baths.
Uh huh.
Let's make dish time fun, right?
Yeah. Now let's talk real quick. I just wanted to say when we're going over the food stuff, there's a lot of great protein bars, energy bars. That those things last a long time. You can stick them in your bag and forget about them for a year.
The bars
and maybe they'll be a little stale.
A year, definitely.
You'll be all right.
And that's usually the first thing once you hit the expiration date is I found that the bars go from being a bar to being like a granola. You know, they become like cereal.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's still edible, but, you know, whatever. You use your judgment on what you're willing to eat. But I know if you're hungry, you're hungry. What I do have in my 72-hour bag, I think I was at like Gander Mountain or one of those places. I bought like a $2,000 or 2,000-calorie brick. That's like some kind of high nutrition, like giant granola bar, but you basically just like cut wedges off it. But it had like a 25-year shelf life, or maybe it was like 5 years.
Have you tried it at all? Have you eaten any?
No, it looked gross.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but
2,000 calories right there, just some kind of big compressed.
Yeah.
you know, you fill bellies with that. Yeah.
And when you, you know, when
but
you're
it took up
on
no
move,
space.
Yeah, when you're on the move, those calories are important because you don't have enough food and you don't think much about it. I'm not going to stop and eat. I'm just going to keep moving. That's when you fuck up. That's when you slip and bust your ass.
A few MREs would be good. But as far as taste goes, MREs don't have a huge shelf life. I'm not saying you can't eat them after a long time. I'm just saying the taste degrades.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to, you know, if you're able to rotate through them, I definitely, you know, and just buy them when they're cheap, and they're not always cheap. But I know I had a coworker who used to do, you know, MREs all the time for lunch and thinks they're the greatest things. Well, something like that, he can rotate through, you know, and that's what he was telling me. He's like, yeah, I have an extra like 30 in my closet and I keep rotating through, but he was eating at least 20 in a month, you know, he was going through it. So something to be aware of.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should have at least 2 or 3 days worth of food that you can do unless you're like super nature guy who can recognize food. You know, obviously, like I said, everything in your bug out bag can be replaced by a skill, but you need to, you know, if you don't have these skills, you need to have a way that you're going to eat until you get where you're going.
Right.
And when you get where you're going, let's hope that you don't starve to death either. And we'll have other episodes on how you can, you know, get around that.
Right. And then, you know, but, another thing to keep in mind is when shit goes down and you got to get out and you're grabbing your shit, grab some fucking food, because the food that you have in your bag may not be able to, you know, keep everybody around. You might open up some of the stuff you've had in there and it's bad now because it's been sitting there for 5 years. Think about that as you're moving out of the house. Now, we'll get into this in a few minutes, but I don't carry any firearms in my bag. My firearms don't stay in the bag. They stay, you know, in other places where I access them. It's another thing that I'm going to be grabbing on the way out along with my bag. And it should be, food should be one of those things also.
And that's like, I mean, if you're jumping in the truck and you're like, all right, we're heading out. I grabbed the go bag, or the bug out bag, and we're getting out of here quick. Well, you know what? How cool is it if you can grab that case of water you have extra sitting in your house from your home preps?
Right.
If you have room, these are things you want to take, you know, or, hey, I have a couple of containers of long-term food storage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can bring
those, them in there.
We want you to bring them. Mm-hmm. But the bag is supposed to be where you can start over.
Right.
You know, if you can bring this other stuff to get you through winter or to get you through, then that's what you should be doing. By all means, don't get me wrong. We're just trying to say, you know, this is something where I have to have it all in a bag and I have to rebuild the world and I'm going to be able to do it. You know, I mean, there is hitting the tool shed and grabbing pitchfork, the chainsaw, the axe, these things are going to matter, you know. They're going to make life so much easier. I mean, I can't imagine not grabbing my axe if I'm heading out.
Right.
And so one, you should know where these things are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife always gives me a hard time because I keep the axe like under the bed, like right there.
Right.
And it's not in any way for a self-defense thing. I don't want it getting damaged or anything to touch it. One of the kids or the, I'm like, no, that's my axe. I love that. What do you mean?
No. I love it more than you. Yeah,
it's, you know, because when you have certain tools are just so useful and when they're kept and maintained properly. So don't get us wrong. I mean, yeah, if you can bring that long term food storage, if you can bring, you know, all the tools out of your shed, these things, the water, you know, as much water as you can load in your truck, these things are going to make life so much easier and buy you so much more time in order to prepare a better and, you know, more established camping hiding location, you know, and get set up.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind. I mean, you should not be like, I have to get out. And if you have an extra hour, there's a lot of things you can load up. But again, it's stuff that you can bring in your vehicle. And maybe it's stuff that you'll be able to trade to get where you're going. Or maybe it's stuff, you know, because say you're going to a location where you're going to have to hike into the woods for 30 miles. Well, guess what? You're not going to bring your whole tool shed.
Right.
But could you bury it by the road and go back for things as you need them?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, and by bury, I mean cover, conceal, you know, something right. where, you know, throw a tarp over it and some light debris, you know, who knows? There's got to be a way. Mm-hmm. But just keep that in mind. And maybe if you're not going to be able to go back for stuff because you're just moving forward, you know, you're going to make your way up to Canada or something.
Right.
Well, maybe you can trade off some of these items to people along the way to get what you want.
Yeah. Now, we always talk about keeping your vehicle at least half full of fuel. But if you're grabbing stuff, you know, another good idea would be to grab that gas can that you have for your lawnmower, or grab the gas can that you have for whatever equipment you use, and have an extra, you know, 2 gallons of gas. It might make a huge difference between getting to someplace where you can get more fuel, or getting going without having to stop.
Right. And by 2 gallons of gas, Kevin means 10 gallons of gas.
Yeah, you know how it goes.
And by 10 gallons, it really probably should be 20. You know, it's...
Yeah, now I have about 12 gallons, I think, right now of fuel. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of have to keep refreshing unless you're really, like, you know, into the long-term fuel storage. We've done jokes on that.
But between the cool thing, like, diesel lasts longer.
Mm-hmm.
So my tractor, I got to say, 5 gallons of diesel goes a long way. Like, I can't even believe how far it goes. And diesel will store. So I keep about 20 gallons. Mm-hmm. But people who have tractors, in theory, you can buy forklifts that, you know, forks that go on the front of your tractor instead of the bucket. You could throw a 55-gallon drum on that on a pallet, and you could load that in the back of your pickup, drive to the gas station, fill it up,
mm-hmm.
drive it back, pallet it, you know, take it back off. I'm just saying, these are things you could do because diesel will keep. And I have buddies who, you know, are already doing this, and I'm trying to get there. And you don't need the fancy. Now, I understand there may be certain laws I'm violating in telling you this, but by actually doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely know people who are doing it. And your plastic container is no different than a plastic container that, you know, you're buying, and they're actually thicker, a 55-gallon drum,
mm-hmm.
than, you know, what you're getting for your other, however you're storing quantity, which again, maybe.
Your eyes open, finding a 55-gallon drum is not difficult. If you're paying attention. I mean, you can go shopping for one and spend a lot of money on one, but you can get them for free or $15 now, in a lot of places.
Unless you're using a ridiculous amount of gas, do not store gas like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the answer. This is the answer for diesel and something like that. And what's weird is up in the north, I know I can get the big 250-gallon fuel tanks for very cheap, and they're all over the place. Down here, they're like $1,000 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that, but... You know, because nobody has it. But so if you want your storage for your, you know, tractor or whatever, but anyway, 55-gallon drum is kind of a cool option. Yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I'm going to get back on task here.
All right. Let's move into clothing. Clothing in your bag that you keep.
Okay.
Now, what I like to do is I get those gallon Ziploc bags mm-hmm. and I'll put, you know, boxer shorts and socks and a t-shirt in each one. And, you know, I have about five. I usually double up on the socks because having wet feet, walking with wet feet is shitty. And if mm-hmm. you have, you know, three extra pairs of socks, you can take your wet socks off, put dry socks on, put them back in the wet boots, and you're going to be dry for a little while longer. Then you can swap out again, and you can, you know, just keep doing it. And eventually eventually you're going to either run out of socks or your boots are going to be dry, but one way or another, you're going to be a lot better off having extra.
Yeah, it's going to buy you time.
And I'm going to say wool socks.
And also think where you get going. You're not going to wear the same clothes over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. You're bugging out. Let's assume if you're bugging out, you're going for at least 5 days.
Right.
And you may be going for forever. You may be going for a month, a year, whatever, but at least you're going for 5 days or... And the thing is, like, keep in mind, a bug out bag could be because an earthquake, you know, knocks out your house and you're now camping in the backyard, or a tornado hit it or whatever.
Right.
Now, we're assuming that, well, I'll just go stay with my neighbors, or I'll go drive with cousin Lucy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's all probably true. But I know sometimes roads and access and things happen depending on the disaster. Sometimes you end up in a situation where it's going to be a week or 5 days or 10 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you, all of a sudden you realize that that hurricane made you a fucking refugee and you need to have the shit to take care of yourself for a long time.
It's a lot of things better than a FEMA camp.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Now I'd like to have, I have a good pair of gloves that I really, really have come in handy a lot. You know, when you're out there working, trying to, you know, get fuel for the fire, trying to do whatever you're doing, your hands are going to get raw real fast, unless that's something that you're doing every day, either, you know.
Oh, if you're a man's man.
Yeah.
And you have callous hands like mine.
If you're a stonemason or something like that, maybe you don't need gloves. But yeah, it's not right. bad to have. Hat, gloves.
And guess what? You might have people with you who might all of a sudden start working with their hands.
Yeah. Like I said, I was doing a long-term trip, with the family last week. And, you know, I do that every year. And the missus brought a pair of gloves and she loved it. It was great. She was, oh, hold on, let me get my gloves. And,
nice.
She loved it. It was great. And it worked really well. It doesn't weigh anything, you know, good pair of gloves. You want to get a good pair though. I mean, those little knit cotton ones, they'll keep your hands warm, but they're going to be fucking soaking wet and disgusting in about 15 minutes. Also, I like to keep a Under Armour hoodie in my bag. You know, if you get the newer ones or you get a quality one, they're going to be somewhat waterproof. You know, not waterproof, but water resistant. Water will beat up and run off, and you can kind of keep dry even with something like that. But it's also important to have some rain gear. One of the things that works really well is rain gear, if you're in a pinch, is some of those 55-gallon trash bags.
Yeah.
So those are great.
Nothing cooler than being the 55-gallon trash bag family.
Yeah.
Oh, the trash bag family came in out of the woods. Nice.
Yeah. Now let's talk about shelter. When you're on the move, you've got lightweight stuff. Let's say you don't have access to a vehicle. You had to abandon your vehicle, and you're on the move on foot, carrying what you can carry. So what I'm going to say is, paracord, tarp, tent. You can get really inexpensive lightweight tents, three-man tents, four-man tents.
Tarp.
Right.
But you want a tarp and a tent in a perfect world.
Right.
And having a little extra tarp, maybe for firewood drying, you know, depending on your climate, that might be a big idea too.
Yeah. Now, I always bring a small, lightweight sleeping bag. But I'm bugging out in the winter, that's not going to be sufficient. I'm going to have to pull that bag out and get a heavy-duty bag in there. I keep it in there because it's lightweight, but you know, in certain situations, you really have to plan for the cold climate. I know a lot of you guys in Texas, even in December, if you're bugging out, you're not going to have this issue. But you know, us guys up in the north, you know, we have to be conscientious because there's nothing worse than fucking bugging out and then freezing
when you get a real cold.
Yeah,
yeah. I did the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge in Boy Scouts. And I thought in my mind, oh, if I do it in the winter, it'll be so easy to build the shelter. I'll be the coolest guy around.
Right.
Because snow is the coolest. Well, let me tell you, I had like the 0 degree maybe sleeping bag, but this is New York in the mountains in the winter. And I don't remember if I had a fire or not, but I know I froze my ass off and I did not sleep 1 minute in that night. Because it's funny, you get like where you're so cold that you just can't sleep. You're just like, and it was bad, dude. But yeah, so just keep in mind, have a sleeping bag that's appropriate. And a lot of us are like, oh, look, you know, $30, I can buy that sleeping bag that weighs less than a pound and it folds up to, you know, the size of my arm.
Yep.
That's great. I'm going to be the awesomest prepper ever because look, I could fit three sleeping bags in there. Well, yeah. But look at the temperature rating and just make sure it's appropriate for where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, again, as we mentioned over and over again in this episode, a lot of these things can be overcome by learning how to build proper shelters, how to, you know, set up fires and do things. Maybe you can get there with a tarp and a, you know, and the appropriate thing, make the right teepee or do something where you'll be able to keep warm easy and you don't need to carry so much. These are skills you can learn, but remember, you need to trade skills for stuff if you're not willing to put in the time and learn it. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. But having an appropriate temperature sleeping bag is a big deal. A lot of you guys also might want to consider some kind of cushion or padding between you and the ground.
I was just going to say that. I just started using one, and let me tell you something. Game changer. Game changer.
And it changes the temperature, too.
Huge, huge amount. Laying directly on the ground, that cold ground is going to go directly into your body. That tiny little mat that, you know, weighs 3 pounds, it's a little bit big. You roll it up and strap it onto the back of your bag. Not a huge deal. It's a little bit big and bulky, but it's lightweight, and it's fucking huge difference. Huge. As far as temperature goes. You need something between you and the ground, and there's a big, you know, it's a big deal there. The other thing I see a lot of guys do that I've gotten into for my summer camp is the hammocks. They're not very expensive. They're incredibly lightweight. They pack into the tiniest thing. You pull them out, and it's like you can't possibly imagine that your fat ass is going to be held up by this thin fabric. But they've really made some big changes in the past 10, 15 years with the fabrics they're using on these things, and you can get one that weighs less than a pound. That'll hold your fat ass and your fat wife too, you know? And just make sure when you get it that you either have the appropriate straps or that you have rope that's rated for the right weight, you know? There's nothing worse than setting up a hammock and falling 3 feet onto some sharp rocks because you're an idiot.
That is awkward and embarrassing. So something to try and avoid.
Yep. Now let's talk about fire, keeping warm, making a fire. Building a fire, doing fire shit, doing man shit. You should be doing this in your fucking backyard every weekend anyway, so you shouldn't have this down. I'm going to tell you the secrets. You're going out in the woods. You don't have anything dry. Everything's fucking soaking wet. It's been raining for 3 weeks. You're trying to start a fire, and you got a bunch of fucking, you know, bunch of fucking rotten wet logs. You need to have, I know everyone's talks about the bow drill and the, you know, the fire starter. What am I talking about? You know, those little
flint and steel, whatever, steel, right. Sparking,
all that sort of shit.
Mag.
Yeah. Don't be stupid. Get some fucking lighters that work. Brand new lighters. Put them in your bag. It's a lot easier than trying to do something stupid. And number
two, and if you're thinking matches, find a way to keep them dry.
Right. And matches,
you know, wrap those up in a bag.
They're great. They're useful, but a lighter is 10 times better and it'll last a lot longer and you'll have more lights with it. I also, when I'm going out, on a, you know, lightweight long-term trip, I also bring a small, bag of dry kindling, you know, whether it's, sawdust or, you know, wood shavings, something that's dry that you can get a fire started.
Now, you can buy pre-made fire starters, which are awesome.
Great.
In the Boy Scouts, we used to make them. We used to take egg cartons, and we would basically drip wax. Like, you'd take one egg square kind of, you know, an egg section, cut that. Well, we'd make them all at once and then cut them apart. You know, you'd use each one. But basically, you would put sawdust in each one, and then we would drip wax on it. And those would, you know, burn for a long time and really be able to start kindling and dry it out even a little bit. But they make even cooler, nice ones now that you can really...
there's a million ways you can make them at home. I like the egg carton way. I've done that a few times and it works great. But you can also buy some quality stuff for very inexpensively. It's not... This isn't something that's going to break your bank. The other thing with the fire is... you want to be able to use your tarp to, when you've got wet wood, You want to be able to put your tarp on the wood when it's raining and take the tarp off and keep that fire dry. But also, I like to, once I get a fire started, I'll kind of stack the wet wood all around the outside of that fire, just so it's drying out. That heat is kind of drying things out as it's burning. Having a fire is a big deal. You know, when you go out in the backyard with the wife and kids and you have a little campfire, everybody loves that shit. And it's
morale
changer.
And
I've
just try you out a little bit.
I've gone camping and done that and not gone without fires just to see. Big difference. You can survive without a fire. It's not a necessity in most situations, but you really want to be able to start that fire if it's at all possible.
Right. And you're going to need to be able to start fires when you get where you're going.
Right.
You know, you need a plan, you know. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind.
Let's talk about first aid kits.
All right.
Now,
I mean, we could go down a big road here. I don't want to get too far. Mm-hmm. Too dangerous. We'll talk about some key items. Definitely, I put my trauma bag.
Yep.
Goes with me with my bug out bag.
Right.
My trauma bag, basically, you know, your Israeli bandage, your it's going to have your triple antibiotic just because I'm going to have quick clot sponge. That's a key in there. The Israeli bandage I already mentioned, right? And then mm-hmm. The scissors to cut away bad things.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't even have it in front of me to think everything. But I don't know. What else do you got?
Well, let me start with saying
I have a tourniquet in there.
Yeah. So, let me start with saying this. Go in your bug out bag, your 72-hour bug out bag. All you guys that are prepping at home, and do what I did. Open up your first aid kit, look at it, and throw it in the fucking garbage. Because it's been in there for 3 years, and all the bandages are fucking rotten. All the shit is expired. I do the same shit. I buy the, you know, thing, I pack it all up, and I leave it in there. And then when I need to use it, it's all fucking garbage. So keep an eye on your first aid kit. Be conscientious about it. Replenish it, take out old shit. But what I would like to see in every first aid kit is going to be, you know, things that you might not be thinking about anyway. Obviously, you're going to have your bandages, your first aid, your band-aids, your that sort of stuff. But make sure you have antibiotic cream, because a small cut that you get in your everyday life that you just ignore, you don't even put something on it, it's not a big deal. If it gets infected, you just go to the doctor. But in a survival situation, you don't want to have to fucking go to a doctor. You don't want to have an infection on your finger that isn't going away and it's getting fucking worse every day because you didn't disinfect it properly.
Right.
Another so great
you're thing. You're going to need the triple antibiotic.
Yeah. Another thing great for that is Vaseline. Your skin gets dried out. Your face is exposed to the weather. You need to kind of protect that stuff. I know that I've done it before, and you look stupid, but if you're out in freezing weather, you can, and you've got your clothing on, you can smear Vaseline all over your fucking face, and you look all shiny and stupid, but it's going to really keep you from getting, from getting windburn. It's going to keep you from getting frostbite. It's going to help out. It's going to save you about 10 degrees on, you know, in all your situation. Benadryl. A lot of the times when you're out there, you get into situations where maybe you interact with something that you don't normally interact with. You have some sort of an allergic reaction, poison ivy, poison oak, bug stings, bites, things like that. It's great for that stuff. Tylenol, doesn't make a huge difference in how you feel, but it makes a small difference. And for kids and for you when you've got a headache because you went out with your bug out bag and you found an old bottle of whiskey in there and you thought, fuck it, I'll just drink all this whiskey right now because that's fun. Tomorrow morning, right, it's not going to be so fun. So
so
I would say keep a bottle of whiskey in your bug out bag, but use it sparingly. Don't be an asshole. Also a great thing to have for me specifically is a first aid book, because I don't have any medical training. I've taken all the basic first aid classes and shit like that, but I've never, you know, I don't have a fucking degree. I'm not a registered nurse. You know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm an idiot, you know?
Well, one of the cool ones, I put a old Boy Scout handbook, and I bought one of the older ones. you know, from years back, the field manual, I think they called it at the time.
Right.
And, you know, that has your first aid, your fire starting, your shelter building. Also, another great one would be the SAS manual.
Right. That's a great one.
It'll cover the same type of stuff. I do have some specific, like, off-grid. Now, I plan to kind of hunker down where I am, and I have all kinds of, you know, war medicine and all kinds of books. We did a whole episode on medical stuff. But either the SAS manual, the Boy Scout handbook, or some kind of complete survival-type manual you want to fit in your bag, just as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
First aid kit. The only other things, you know, I would add, I don't know. I mean, I have like sutures. I have a lot of more, you know, expanded stuff. Infection is huge. Like you were talking about, I know in my kit, I have, they have wound wash where it's like a compressed, spray, you know, that you are able to clean out things a little bit. That'll buy you time. You know, you're going to definitely also with hygiene, you know, need some bars of soap in there. In your bug out bag, you know, fill a Ziploc with your, you know, Irish Spring or something. Mm-hmm. And the stuff's super cheap. It weighs a little more than you'd like it to, but a bar of soap goes a long way. And if nothing else, you know, because when you're dirty and stuff, infection is so much more likely to spread, and that's what's going to do you in. The Tylenol for fever, also maybe Motrin. People seem to have better success with pain relief for that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some, I did like Orajel for pain for the kids kind of thing. I'll use that topically like anywhere on the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just found they have as a, it's called something numb. I don't know, but they have a lidocaine cream that you can put on.
Really? You can buy that?
Actually, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. And I was reading people were using it for getting tattoos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so I just added that to my medical bag just recently.
Wait, you mean
they have it on.
People are using that for tattoos, like pussies and shit when they get a tattoo and they cry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Those kind of people.
Yeah.
All right. So you can get it makes it numb for the
5-6 hours, right? Uh-huh. And they can look tough and be a Nancy boy, right?
Yeah. All right.
So you know, whatever.
Now moving along, in that same vein,
we have a.
Go ahead.
An episode on medical and you know, bags. I didn't really plan on going there because this is already a long episode. And it just, you know, it's such a big rabbit hole that you could go down with medical. Yeah. But anyway, in the same vein.
Get your first aid kit out of your bag, open it up, and fix it. Make it better than what you got. If you bought a store bag like you already made,
you're gonna need to add to it. Yeah, the pre-made, unless you bought a $500 EMT bag,
right?
It probably doesn't have the right. The thing is, you don't need $500 worth of stuff, but you need to know what, and again, things that you know how to use. If you don't know how to use it, it shouldn't be in your bag,
right?
Because you're just wasting space and stuff. But you know, anyway, so moving along.
All right, right into that with first aid is hygiene. Me, I've got a thing where I always bring toothbrush and toothpaste, even if I'm just
going poop paper.
Poop paper, yeah, poop paper is great and it's a great fire starter too. And everybody likes a clean asshole. That's just how it goes. Those wet wipes, great. Flushable wipes, great. Don't flush those flushable wipes because they'll just fill your septic tank up and they don't break down. But as far as being out in the woods, and, you know, don't be an asshole. Bury your shit. It's gross. Nobody wants to step in human shit. Go away from your camp. Dig a little hole. Take a dump. Throw a rock in there. Throw some leaves on that shit and move on. Don't just lean your ass over the ledge of the, you know, the stream that you're next to and take a shit in it. Because you're going to end up having to drink your own shit at some point. Soap. Bar soap. Lightweight. And it lasts for a long time. And you can use it. And when you're eating, when you're out there, you can use it to clean your utensils. You can use it to clean your hands. Everybody that has a beard like I do knows that it's going to be full of nasty shit and smell like shit. Bar soap isn't great for beards. But it's better than just smelling like shit. That's, I mean, staying clean is really a big difference in how healthy you're going to be during the time you're out there. Now, let's get into some basic tools that you're going to have in your bag. Now, we talked about raiding your tool shed on your way out.
This isn't raiding your shed, but maybe you strap your axe on there.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So, as first thing that I think everybody should have in a bug-out bag, I'm sure everybody does that's already built a bug-out bag. Everybody that's going to build a bug-out bag knows to think about it, but is a knife. Now, I like two knives. I like a small pocket knife for small little things. And I like a big Bowie knife that you can use to, you know, kind of hack up some wood, break some wood up. And, you know, if you have to fight somebody, you know, a knife is a lot better. You know, bring the knife to the fist fight. Don't bring the knife to the gunfight. But, you know how it goes. You want something big that you can use in a, you know, in an aggressive way. But you also want something you can use for like the smaller projects. Using a big Bowie knife, you know, right. Cut a little thing or cut your food up when you're eating. It's just stupid and it's a pain in the ass.
Now you guys know that, well, you guys who've been a fan for years know that I was a big fan of the SOG Jungle Primitive Machete.
Great knife.
This thing is freaking awesome. We actually gave one away to one of our listeners. That's how much I loved it. We had one custom made, I think. Is that not right?
Yeah, no.
Oh, but that one didn't get given away. We gave away a factory one.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah. And then we actually have in the private collection the custom made SOG Jungle Primitive. Yeah. Is that correct?
That, yeah. Seth Span, I made that for him. He made custom made sheath
for Span blades.
And And fucking great. I still use it to this day.
So
it's a hickory handle.
SOG Jungle Primitive. Nice. You can cut small trees, clear areas. It's great for tons of stuff, and it honestly wouldn't even be too bad for self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go after a guy who's holding that when I didn't have a gun or, you know.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like a go-to. Now, you said pocket knife and a bigger, like, fighting knife. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I mean, it could be a machete, but I go with a heavy-duty fixed-blade Bowie knife is what I like.
All right. Oh, you do? Yeah. Well, you know, if you guys were like, yeah, but I can't really afford a heavy-duty fixed-blade Bowie knife, maybe you should check out our little giveaway contest we have coming up.
That's right.
Because we have some nice pretty ones. Badass Bowie knife in there that might be up for grabs. We'll mention that more at the end of the episode here. Mm-hmm. But so SOG Jungle Primitive, you know, some kind of machete or go-to bigger knife that'll, you know, almost, I mean, it's not working as a hatchet. You're not doing big stuff. It's not really an axe. I have a great hatchet in my bag. But again, not necessary. That might be extra weight, especially if you're carrying an axe as well.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a machete. Definitely. I always have a Leatherman multi-tool on my belt. I would say if you're not somebody who's always carrying one, it should be in your bag. I think that would be great. Those pliers seem to come in handy over and over again. And I like the Seal Pup for my like belt everyday kind of knife. I don't carry it. It's too big and it frightens schoolgirls and things. But if I was, you know, living at camp or that kind of thing, that's a great knife that I carry on my hip. At times you can find it very cheap. I didn't pay over $100 for it. It was more like the $40 range, mm-hmm. but you really got to watch to find it at that price. Maybe I'll start sharing it. I used to share it with the group whenever I'd come across it for cheap,
mm-hmm.
but it's been a while. So anyway, something like that, some kind of belt knife that is the go-to. And some people like a buck skinner, you know, that kind of thing. An animal skinner knife would not be a bad idea to throw in the bag. And also a knife for cooking. If you don't have a good way to clean your knife all the time, a separate cooking knife, which I understand you still have to clean, but you know, that you're just using for that and maybe not for the nasty stuff.
Right.
You know, I find I'm sticking my Leatherman in all kinds of bad stuff. And then I'm using it to pull out splinters and stuff later in the day. And I'm like, you know,
maybe not.
That's not maybe as clean. So I just imagine if I was using the same thing to prepare food, maybe, you know, something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So those knives be good. Nope. What is it?
Or big deal.
Headlamp. Headlamp is great. And then also I would add flashlight in here, some kind of solar chargeable or crank flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of those cheap, like $20 crank. It actually has like a little solar panel, a crank flashlight, and a radio. Mm-hmm. And it also gets like the NOAA bands, something to have in your bag. I mean, I don't know. I mean, information, they say, you know, is key to everything. So I think it's good to have the radio. But I also have those little blocks that are solar and that are a pretty bright flashlight, you know, that like they look like an iPhone kind of size thing.
Right.
And it's basically a solar panel and a flashlight. Those are pretty great. I have one of those in the bag.
Yeah. Now, most of those you can plug in and charge up. Now, when I go out with that, I usually have it charged before I leave. It's, you know, it's good to have, but you know, if you're in a rush and it's just in your bag and it's been in the bag for 2 years, it's fine. You can throw it in the sun and it'll charge up pretty quick.
Right.
Those things work really well.
Another, you know, again, this is a budget item that is maybe not the right thing. If you spent $150, do a little research on one of those fold out solar charger ones. Mm-hmm. Now look at the watts that it actually charges. Cause if you look around, you can get a better deal, but you want something that's going to charge like, I don't know, it'd be awesome, like 25 watts. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that for like $120 or something, something fold up that you could throw in there. If you could have freaking radios, mm-hmm. That might be a huge asset to throw in there. If you were able to charge the batteries, you know, a lot of those will charge off USB. And if you had the thing, also some more flashlights and headlights, anything that you can either charge the batteries that go in it or a chargeable item. Those, again, that's more of a somebody who's willing to commit more money to your bug out bag. Mm-hmm. To me, not as much of a priority as like food or cooking or water purification. But if you have extra and you can get more stuff in there, that would be a great asset, you know, and things to have. You know, that's something that I would love to add to my bag that I really haven't. I do have a decent Faraday cage that I keep all the time with some solar charging stuff and some electronics that, you know, might be a huge game changer in the end of the world. I keep those set aside. That's a big thing for me, but you know, we all decide where we want to spend our money. So I don't know. That's kind of what I got on tools.
All right. I like to throw in a couple of little things. Map, compass, cash.
Yeah. I was going to say compass, map. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Duct tape.
I was saving that for another section. Okay. But yeah.
Duct tape, garbage bag, sewing kit, snare wire, and zip ties.
Love it. Everything there is great. I would add a paracord.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe mention it. Maybe we mentioned it in the shelter area.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else you got here?
Paracord. I'm going through. Another thing, when you do prepare to bug out, I mean, I feel like that's the gist of, you know, I think we covered poncho, you know, that kind of thing, some rain gear, but that could just be your 55 gallon trash bags, whatever. Mm-hmm. You decide, you know, what you want to be. You know, sometimes a good hat, like people have those jungle hats.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a rainy climate and really expect that that's going to be an issue where you're traveling in the rain, those jungle hats are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Just where it keeps it off your face and kind of off you.
Right.
Makes people a lot happier traveling like that. The other thing, when you bug out, you need to make sure that you have quality shoes or boots.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to keep these with your bag, like nearby, so you're not looking for them. I mean, if you're wearing, you know, comfortable hiking kind of boots every day, but I got to say, maybe even have a backup pair all the time, because you don't want them to be at the end of their life cycle and you're going to be survival guy off in the woods. Because, man, if you don't have quality footwear, now in your climate, maybe it's Morels. I know, like I go out and feed my chickens every morning and do that kind of thing. if I throw on my Morels, they're soaked through to the sock by the time I get back to the house every single time. And but I throw on my boots and I'm good to go, you know, and there's no issue. So quality footwear that you've tried and know. Now, my Morels are more like the kind of sneaker lighter. I think they make more aggressive hiking boot kind of ones that are,
right,
you know, possibly more waterproof and whatever. But make sure it's not something that you're going to have soaking wet feet right out of the gate.
Right.
Because it will make your life very uncomfortable.
Right. Now, there's a big difference in your climate with insulated boots. Up north, you really want to have some good insulated boots. Down south, you're going to be sweating your ass off. You also want to have, there's a difference between work boots and hiking boots. You know, work boots are great for work. They're not great for hiking. You know, also make sure you get the fucking right size boot. I've made a mistake where I was in a rush and I bought some hiking boots that were a half size too big. Huge pain in the ass, you know. Walking around the store was no problem, but once you're out in the mountains moving around, it was a huge, huge pain in the ass.
Now,
go ahead.
I was going to say another thing with that is that, you know, with the appropriate footwear, you might also want to get some like shoe inserts, the padded stuff. And I'm not talking about like you should already have yours at the most comfortable way that you can make them. So, you know, you put the inserts in now, whatever. But I know as I'm starting to wear them out, if I have a new insert to put in there, buys me a lot more life. And if you had some of those in your bag, you know, some Dr. Scholl's or whatever insert pad, ones that you know are going to fit in there and work, if you had those in your bag, that might extend the life of your shoes and your comfort and your working ability, you know, by a long shot. So just keep that in mind. That might be another great thing to add to your bag.
Right. Now let's talk about firearms. I was saying earlier that I don't carry firearms in my bag. And the reason for that is that I live in New York, and if I fuck up and leave, I might be breaking a law. That's not the case for most people in most of civilized America.
Fine.
But you want to make sure that you're carrying the appropriate caliber of ammo and the appropriate amount of ammo. Ammo is heavy as fuck. And it's great to have 1,000 rounds, but you don't want to be carrying that for 15 miles. And you don't want to be carrying that for 15 rounds and realize you have a 9mm and have 22 shells in there.
There you go. Know? Again, that's something when you have a lot of time, you're adding to the truck to take with you. It's all your ammo. Again, I'm kind of at the point where maybe you have a lot of extra ammo where it's not like a, you know, somebody might have all their ammo and it's 5 pounds worth or 3 pounds worth. Well, then that's not such a big deal to keep all that in the bag, you know. But if you had 100 pounds or 200 pounds, then that might be different, you know, or more than that. Then, you know, so but these are things you could add when you're going to leave. But having several full magazines for your appropriate weapons would be a great idea.
That's great.
And I realize that bullets disappear pretty quick.
Yeah, I would say a minimum of 30 rounds for each firearm you're bringing. And I would make sure I would have a handgun and a rifle, not a shotgun. I mean, shotguns are great. You can get birds and all sorts of shit with it. Great. But you're better off with a rifle than you are with a shotgun, I think, in that sort of situation.
Now, if you feel that you're able to get where you're going without conflict of people and you're going to the middle of nowhere, I got to say a 22 rifle might be your go-to survival rifle.
Right.
You know, if you're not bringing the armory and you're not doing battle on the way and whatever, as far as a survival in the woods and wilderness, a 22 rifle is the kind of go-to. You have a decent scope on like a Ruger 10/22. You could pretty much survive forever in most woods if you weren't in competition for animals with other hunters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, rabbits, people say, oh,
girls, well, all that sort of stuff. Great. Great.
And I know a lot of people who are taking deer with headshots.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've heard rumors, even though that sounds shady and illegal. And
yeah, I don't know anybody that could ever do that. But yeah, another, you know, I know that I have a friend of mine that was telling me he's got a high powered air pistol, a pellet gun, and he takes out woodchucks with it and shit. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but I don't think it's that high-powered pellet gun is going to be sufficient for, you know.
I know I could do squirrels and probably bunny rabbits with my pellet gun. I have a gammo gun that's pretty cool. I don't see a woodchuck. I know that I'm getting them like 8 times with the freaking 22. Mm-hmm. And my experience, well, I mean, I guess if you're walking up on them at 10 feet, I mean, I'm getting mine at 75 yards.
Right.
You know, and that's work. Mm-hmm. Cause my experience is he's never standing there at 10 feet away. Like I'll go out and work and I'll be at somebody else's house in the city and I can walk 10 feet up to him.
Right.
But I know in the country, the woodchucks don't let me get quite that close, but mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Yeah, no, just basically think of comfort, think of what you need, think about what you need to eat, think about what you need for shelter. Think about what your family does every day, your family prescriptions, your family, you know, things, maybe an extra set of eyeglasses if you're useless, if your glasses break. You know, these are the things you should go through. What do I use every day? What do I really need? You know, do I need a percolator for coffee and coffee? Do I need another thing I wanted to add, I was going to put it under the tool section, is they have those like survival seed vaults. Uh-huh. Things like that. If you had a container of pre-done seeds that you could go out, but make sure it's got a shelf life that they're going to be reasonable germination. And I've done the survival seed vault stuff and then gone and planted them. The ones from my Patriot Supply, I would say I had like a 70% germination rate. I would kind of hope for better than that. Mm-hmm. So just kind of be aware of what you're getting. But some seeds are better than no seeds, because if you're planning on starting the world, again, if you're the guy who's like, I need to make it through 10 days, I want a bug out bag in case I need to, because you think it's ridiculous that the world would end where you're not going to be in civilized society within 10 days, then don't worry about seeds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you're the guy who's like, I need to go start over and I'm going to be like Little House on the Prairie with my axe and build a log cabin and I'm never going to see people for 10 years. Then you want to bring some seeds in your bag.
Right.
And, you know, your bag might be a little different, but that might be something you want to throw in there. Also, you know, coffee. I know we did an episode on like covered wagon kind of prepping. And we talked about, you know, the bigger stuff where you're buying bulk salt and you're buying bulk coffee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these things, we're trying to fit it in a bag. So, you know, work with us. But there's different ways to prep for what you want. And also staging a location, but it's hard if you don't know what's coming, you know, then how in the woods do I need to be to get away from society? If you don't know what you're planning against, mm-hmm. then you need to, you know,
yeah. And it's that's hard why to really I would recommend prepare. Everybody get out and use your bug out bag. Go on a fucking 2-day trip and take your bug out bag and see what you're missing. Go on a trip where you can get back to the car and drive to the store because you can, you know, you forgot something and you can get it.
And learn some skills.
That's it.
Now, we have a Facebook group that is Prepping Badass, the Prepping Badass group. And you guys may want to join that. And you will see in there that we have a very impressive Bowie knife that we are giving away. And it's got a nice leather holster from Spanny Blades and a custom grip, has a Damascus steel blade. It's a pretty impressive knife. And I got to say that we are giving this away to somebody who basically checks out our cool gear at preppingbadass.com. We got t-shirts, we got face masks, we got coffee mugs, which I got to say, I'm not as impressed as I thought I would be. I see it and it's got like a different color handle. Kind of was weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm drinking out of mine right now. Are you
liking it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's a coffee mug.
It looks good.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. So there you go. It sounds like it's good. I just was hoping it was all one solid color.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And that's what kind of messed with me a little bit. Seemed weird. But anyway, we got some awesome stuff, though. We do have a lot of cool t-shirts and a lot of cool stuff. You can show your prepping badass, you know, enthusiasm and support. And I know you guys like to be low key, but come on, you wear shirts for all kinds of cool things. You can't tell me that, you know, you don't want to tip your prepping hand. So anyway, so if you found one of those and you took a picture of yourself, we're going to use the coolest picture that we get, or possibly multiple, in some ad campaigns to promote the gear. And whoever we decide to use is going to win this knife. Now, we only are giving it out to somebody in the U.S. because, honestly, it's just too hard to figure out how to send a knife somewhere. Really, it's too hard to send anything to another country from America. It's just freaking ridiculous. There's customs forms and extra fees and bullshit, and I just can't do it, and I'm sorry. And I just don't know how to do it in an easy way, so we just make it too hard. So anyway, you live in the U.S., buy some badass gear at preppingbadass.com. Take a picture of it. Send us with you out having a good time with it. And, you know, you're out swinging the axe. You're at the shooting range. You're, you know, sitting by the campfire. Maybe you're just drinking beer. Maybe you have your prepping badass coffee mug and you're filling it with Maker's Mark whiskey.
Right.
You know, that might be something that you're doing.
Right.
Then, right, is Maker's Mark, does that sound accurate?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's, I remember. And you may want to shoot us a picture of you enjoying your prepping badass gear. And especially if you can showcase the gear a little bit in the picture, that'd be awesome. But we're going to give it a little time. And once we receive a couple of good pictures, we are going to, you know, choose a winner and, you know, then send that out. And we're going to give you a little time to get your items purchased and get them shipped out to you. But we're going to pick a winner and we're going to send them a badass Bowie knife. That's all I can tell you. So we know, we appreciate you guys always listening. We try and do some quality extended length episodes every now and again. Don't forget to support our sponsors. That's the one, like TacPack.com, who, by the way, gave out a nice Gerber multi-tool this last month that I received in the mail. So I'm just saying, they had a lot of cool shit in there. They have basically a monthly subscription where they send you different gear, usually related to AR-15s. And, you know, you get some of those cool, hard-to-find items like magazines and things like that right there in the mail sent out to you. So anyway, somebody great you might want to check out. We're actually reaching out to some new sponsors. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, if you're loving the show, maybe head over to iTunes and leave a review or wherever it is you're downloading the podcast. Let other people know what you're thinking. And be great if you shared it, you know, on Facebook. We'd really appreciate it. So with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. Spend your Saturdays with Life on the Water. Join Captain Brandon Simmons for fishing, diving, travel, and so much more.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Oh, look at that thing, dude. Wow. Oh. Let's see what kind of trouble we can get into today.
Don't miss Life on the Water every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.